But let us go ahead and prepare our hearts for the Lord and offer up to Him the opportunities to just bless us this morning. Heavenly Father, we just want to bless You this morning and ask You to just put Your hand upon our hearts. Allow us to just be focused on You, Lord. Allow us to just bless You, Lord, and to lift You up and to be a blessing unto You. I thank You, Lord, for this church, and I thank You for those that come faithfully, that come with their Bibles open and ready for the receiving of the Word of God. I ask You that You would put on our hearts something that we would be desiring to do for You, Lord. I pray for our afterglow next week. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will just fall upon those who have never asked You for You to just touch them in a special way, to open up their heart, to prepare them for the receiving of gifts. Lord, we want gifts, and we want those good things that You have for us, Lord. So we ask You to bless us in Your name, in the name of Jesus, forever and ever, Lord. We thank You. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to pick up exactly where we left off. We are a church that goes verse by verse. And here we are in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And as we go through the book, and you go verse by verse, you pick up on some smaller, intimate things about what the Lord is doing, especially in the life of Christ. You get to see some imagery that is amazing. Now, in the verse 1, we have, it says, on the same day. What day is this? If we go back, we remember that Jesus, on the Sabbath, had crossed the grain field, and His disciples had harvested grain by just grabbing it with their hands, rubbing it, and eating the grain. And they were accused of working on the Sabbath. Jesus was also being set up by the religious leaders, daring Him, even though to dare Him to actually heal somebody on the Sabbath. They considered it wrong. But Jesus explains to them that men were not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for men, for us, that we are to be blessed by it. And look what it says to us here. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to Him, so that He got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Occasionally, we will go through personally, when you're in ministry, whether you're doing bass playing, or whether you're pastoring a church, or maybe you're teaching a class, occasionally, you can get spiritually worn out. I get worn out. I get worn out. And you say, well, what wears you down is it's incremental. It's also routinism, being in that routine of it. I get off work. I come home. I prepare for a Wednesday night class. The class, I've already had my lesson done that week. I start my lessons on Monday morning before I actually work. I go to work. I go in early. I take 30 minutes in the morning to pray and to start one of my lessons. Either it's going to be a Wednesday lesson I start working on, or maybe a Sunday. And then some days I'm reading through it, and some days it's not clicking. And it may take me till Friday night to get my Sunday lesson figured out. Who likes homework every single night? That's what it's like. Here, Jesus has just been attacked by people for doing good. There's nothing worse than being beat up because you did the right thing. He had people trying to set Him up, so He's always on guard, always having to do. And then on top of that, He's always having to meet the needs of the needy. Look what He did. He went out and He sat down by the sea. And occasionally, you need to go sit down in a quiet place and be still before the Lord. Jesus is sitting on a shore and he's quietly sitting there and he's probably just taking a breather. He's probably just trying to refresh himself. But look what happens. He says, and a great multitude gathered together with him. They crowded him off the beach. He eventually has to get in a boat and they push it out. If you look at some of the other Gospels, he asked Peter to pull out into the water a little ways. So he gets into one of Peter's boats and they push out a little ways to get away from the crowd. So here's Jesus sitting in this boat and the crowd is all along the shoreline. Before, they were just pressing in on him. Serving can be a pressuring thing. You got everybody watching everything you ever do. You've got to walk the walk. And by the grace of God, we do. Jesus, he pulls the boat out and he realizes these people are still hungry for more. And what does Jesus do? Does he put his hand up and say, come on guys, get in the boat, we're splitting? He doesn't. He starts to teach these people. In verse 3, he says, then he spoke many things to them in parables. A parable is a story with a principle. But a parable is this. You know, it is a way of disguising information to those who are not spiritually in tune. If I start preaching a parable to somebody and they don't know the first thing spiritually, it goes over their head. They don't get it. But to those who are spiritually alive in Jesus Christ and have asked the Holy Spirit to give you the gifts of discernment to understand what it means, do you think you're going to muscle through it with your own flesh and blood and sweat? Probably not. That is why it's so important when we do have our afterglows, and we don't do them like a regulated thing. We do them as the Spirit leads. I tried to go a few months at a time to just let the Spirit mature and grow people. And then I'm dying. I'm just anxious to see someone go, I want to receive a gift. I don't care what it is. I want something miraculous in my life. And they can come forward. We'll do just like Paul did with Timothy, the laying on of hands. And people receive gifts. It may not be no tingly whatever. You may not get no goosebumps. You may not even notice anything at all. But maybe a few weeks later, certain things start to happen. God starts to show you some things. Maybe you thought you were going to get a gift of interpretation. Maybe you got the gift of a tongue. Maybe the Lord opens your mouth and you start speaking a tongue in prayer to Him. Don't know. You might get interpretation and tongue. I don't know. I don't have the tongues. I know many Calvary Chapel pastors who do not have the gift of tongues. I know some who have incredible gifts, though. Incredible gifts. Gifts to be able to do things that I can't do. Some have the gift of teaching that is just unbelievably good. Some have the gift of counseling. Some have the gift of discernment. Making good judgments, making good leadership decisions. There's different gifts. This is a teaching, though, about the basics. Jesus is talking to the crowd, which includes also his disciples, but he's talking to babies, spiritual babies. So what does he do? He gives them a parable. And look what happened. It says, you don't really see it exactly here in Matthew, but over in Mark chapter 4, it picks up all the details that we're looking for. even if you look over in chapter 4, in Mark chapter 4:13, later on, Jesus' disciples come to him, and they're a little puzzled themselves, and they're supposed to be the mature ones. And they go, "Sir, can you explain to us what this parable means?" And Jesus looks at them, and he's quite surprised. And he says, "Are you telling me you don't know this parable? You don't know what this is?" He says, "If you can't understand this parable that I'm teaching today, then you'll never understand any of the other parables. It's a foundational parable." And in your book here, some of y'all have the titles, and it says maybe the parable of the sower. Some may say the parable of the seed. Those things are not constant, though. There's different things. The seed is always constant. The sower is always constant. But what is not constant is the soils. So I like to refer to it as the soil, the parable of the soils. And he says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." That means to throw seed. "And as he sowed, some seed fell on wayland or wasteland, on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun came out, the sun scorched them because they had no root, and they withered away," meaning they passed away. The first seeds were devoured that went on the wayside. These here sprouted a little bit, but then died out. And then it goes, "And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good soil, and they yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. In other words, the maturing sign is fruit, a harvest. Without it, it's considered invalidated, not alive, not fulfilled. Now, let's look at the definitions. The seed equals the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sower, note this, the sower is a disciple who obediently spreads the seed. Who here thinks they've been called to spread the seed of the Word of God? Every single human being that knows Jesus Christ is called to spread the news of Jesus Christ. You can find this in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. It's known as the Great Commission. It's not just the pastors, not just the evangelists, not just the deacons or the servants of the church, but it is every single person who has been made alive wishes to tell other people that they are alive. That they're alive. And how what made them alive. How they were dead once, now they're alive. What made the difference? If you knew somebody that thought they were spiritually alive and they weren't alive, and you knew the difference, you know the difference, wouldn't you want to show them that there's a choice they can make? They can go on pretending what they are, or they can know Jesus Christ. How many of y'all have ever seen the movie The Matrix? Right? Morpheus, right? Neo meets Morpheus. And they go into a room, and he starts educating him. And he says, he has two little pills, a green one and a blue one. And he says, if you take this one of these pills, you take the green one, you go on thinking whatever you want, you wake up tomorrow and none of this ever happened, and you just keep going the way you're going. He said, but if you take the blue pill, I'll show you how deep the rabbit hole goes, and that you will be made alive. You think you're alive, you're not. You're not really aware. Now, I don't like some of the symbolisms of the movie, but that part is very similar to Christianity. Is that you're telling somebody they need to wake up because they think they're alive and they're not. You're offering a seed, the greatest knowledge, the greatest information ever, ever, ever presented to humanity. The greatest. There is no better news. It's the seed. And it's powerful. If you go on and read in Mark chapter 4, this is how cool it is. You take the seed and you're throwing it around, and you don't really even have to have good aim or care where it lands. You say, well, do I want to give the good message to somebody who's rich and powerful and has everything they want? Yes. Because even though they may have everything they want, they die, they lose their soul. You can give them something they don't have. Do I want to give it to somebody who's an atheist? Yeah, give it to the atheist. See what God does with it. Do I just want to give it to people who go to church? Yeah, give it to the people who go to church. There's a lot of church people that don't know Jesus Christ, have never really had a conversion. They've had a conversation. They've have a lot of experiences, but they don't have conversion. They've not been made alive. Throw the seed generously everywhere. Every time you get an opportunity, share Jesus. Get a reputation of guy as a Bible thumping crusader for Jesus. It's okay. It's a good attitude. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, though, the sower sowed all the seed. He goes home, he goes to bed, he wakes up the next day, and he discovers it has sprouted, and he does not know how. You don't know how. If I could explain how the Holy Spirit goes inside of somebody and wakes them up, then it's not Christianity, and God had nothing to do with it. Because if I can explain it and put a human twist on it, then it really wasn't spiritual. Remember, Jesus had a conversation with a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a wonderful, he became a Christian. And he was a teacher of the law. The teacher of the law, Jesus says. And he says, do you not know this? That the Holy Spirit moves to and fro, and we don't know which, it's like the wind. We don't know which way it came from or which way it's going. It's mysterious. Do you not know that? And that he makes people alive again. He makes them reborn. It's not us, but it's us doing a certain part of it. The sowing out of the seed. The Bible says, by hearing the word, by hearing it, people can make a decision mentally and spiritually. Hearing the word of God through faith, they come to understand what God is all about and what God is doing for themselves. Another thing about it is the soil. The most common soil is hard soil. Concrete. Imagine concrete. Would you plant seeds on concrete? No. But we're told to throw it out there anyway. Because human beings have hearts like concrete. Hard. And the seed doesn't penetrate. And if the seed sits out there for a while, it says the birds come along. I think in Mark it refers to them as ravens. Doesn't mean ravens are evil. But they come along. And the birds look at it and go, bird seed, yummy. And they eat it, and it's gone. Did you know that's not always about demons? Sometimes the seed of the word is on a piece of concrete, a heart that is hard. And it's the heart knows it's there. And our friends that we call friends who are non-believers come along and go, oh, man, you're not going to listen to that silliness. You don't want to be a Christian. You don't want to be a boring, weird, religious person. Come on. You really think there's a God out there that created all this? We should just live as we live and enjoy life while we can, because we're not going to be around much longer. Live now, for life does not last. That is their motto. And they dust the seed away. Another type of ground that we come across is one that is stony. There's some soil, but it's filled with a lot of rock. and the roots can only go down so deep, and they hit rock, and they can't grow. They can't mature. They can't do much. And then the sun comes out, and the drought destroys them, and they're gone. Another type of soil is a soil that is known as good soil. It has no rock in it. It has no thorns. The thorny soil is a soil that is distracted. Distracted by stuff, by people, by experiences, by drugs, by sex, by money, by going here and doing that. Someone says, hey, you going to be in church on Sunday? Yeah, man, see you. And then they're not in church. And go, well, what happened? And they go, oh, I went to a party. Or I got distracted and went off and did this. I understand occasionally taking the break. Mentioned that as we began, Jesus wanted a break. And a break occasionally is okay. But next week it's going to be something else, and it's going to be something else, and it's going to be something else. It's because that person is shallow. They don't have the deep roots. You see, if you have deep roots, it leads you to rivers of living water that flow up inside of you and burst life inside of you and causes you to mature. And you say, well, I find myself wanting not to be here. You can see it. You'll see people in the rows and they're not paying attention. They're sitting there with their arms like this, folded. And they're not even singing. And they're kind of looking around and they're talking to their friends and they're doing this and they're doing that. And you make you wonder, is that person truly saved? Or are they just very undisciplined? You don't know. But you see the hunger, you'll see a desire. And I'm sitting here telling you right now the truth. If this church does not feed you what you need to be fed, please come forward on a Sunday. Let me know where you want to go. I'll reach out to that pastor and he'll be expecting you the following Sunday, because we'll lay hands on you and bless you and send you to that next church. And that pastor will be ready to take you to the next level. Period. No hard feelings. I am thrilled for you. I'm thrilled for you, because I'm not going to always be the perfect pastor. I'm not going to be the perfect teacher. But you got to find where you can be fed and where you can grow and where the Word is nurturing your heart and your soul. How does soil get good? How does it get good? Do I need to go and get a friend or become a friend with a non-believer? Sometimes you have to. Sometimes God will use you to touch those people's lives, that you can speak holiness into their life. And you can go in there, but you don't go in there with a shovel and some dynamite to get out the rocks, to get out the thorns, to turn over their life by force. But you do it by just loving them and letting God do the mining and the removing of the rocks and the tearing out of the thorns and the getting rid of the concrete even. You're supposed to be doing that. You should be finding someone that you can nurture safely. Don't let them drag you into sin, though. Because they will want to drag you as hard as you want them to come to Christ. They'll want to take you where you don't want to go. But good soil is usually a dramatic event to get to it. Something changes, something happens. You get a divorce, or you lose somebody, you know, or you there's people have like Chuck Colson. Who knows Chuck Colson? Know that name? He did angel ministries for the prisons. He was one of those who was sentenced for his activity. His guilty activity in Watergate. And Chuck Colson, he said, he goes, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I had my act together. I walked into that prison. He goes, the slamming of that door, he said, he goes, man, it's all it took. I was instantly broken. He goes, God had my attention for the first time in my life. And he said, he goes, I repented of my sins. He goes, I begged God to just forgive me and to help me. And he goes, man, he goes, I didn't even have a life till I had that slamming of that door. He goes, when that door slammed, he goes, that's when real difference took place. And it was a painful thing. And he says, I praise God. He goes, I'm dreadfully sorry that I was a sinner and committing crimes. He goes, but I am so grateful that someone caught us and took me to prison, that I had the opportunity to really know about Christianity, to know who I was, to know who I was. But I think the most common ground that we see that where certain soils do come to church here, we seldom ever see the concrete come. But occasionally, a mom will twist the arm of their son or their daughter to come, and they'll come out of guilt, and they are an atheist, a hard believer, I mean, don't believe in anything. But the most common is thorny. They're distracted. They've sprouted up a little bit, but they're distracted. They're also overwhelmed. If you gave them a choice of $1 million, $100 million, or no Jesus Christ, they'd choose $100 million without blinking. When they knew it was real and that you will perish and die and go to hell and you'll suffer for eternity, or you can have this $100 million here, the distracted one would look at it and go, I want the money. Because it's not real to them. It hasn't become real. They're distracted. They're just caught up in religion. They like the company. Misery what? Loves company. They're miserable sometimes in their life and they're just interested in connecting to something. If you are to die and your heart's distracted, you're not really focused, you're not really solid with Jesus, you kind of toy with it, and you don't have that commitment, that I'm all in or else attitude, then you need to get right with Jesus. You need to know Him. And you can get right with Him at any moment. Just call out to Him. Look what Jesus does though. In verse 10. And it says, and His disciples came to Him and said, hey man, why are you speaking in parables to them? And He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it hasn't been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore I speak in parables, He says, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. And this is a fulfilling of the Ezekiel chapter 12, where it says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and yet not perceive. You see, those who already have the Spirit of God, and it's alive and well in their heart, when God shares stuff, they'll get more stuff. When they have, they'll be able to get more. When they don't have even the basics of salvation, it says even more will be taken from them. What would that be? That would be their last chance. I mean, they can live their life out. They die and they leave this world and they go to the next, which is to face judgment, and they go to hell. God discharges them and says, look, I don't know you. Away from me. I wished I knew you, but I don't know you. meaning that person has never come to a full repentance of their sin and their condition. Now, it gets even more interesting. Jesus starts explaining to them, as it says over in Mark chapter 4, they really struggled understanding. What did all this mean? And it's for us to understand it also. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. It speaks of the concrete, the hardness. The seed of the word is sitting there, but the ravens come along and just take it. Have you ever shared the word of God with somebody that had a real hard heart, concrete heart? Pharaoh had a hard heart like concrete. And he saw miracles and all kinds of stuff. And it says he hardened his heart, so the Lord hardened his heart. Meaning, Pharaoh wanted his heart hard, so God let him have a hard heart. And every time Pharaoh kept back and forth with Moses, he would always choose to have a hard heart. And eventually, God said, I'm not going to give you a hard heart. I'm going to give you what you want, concrete. Have you ever tried to share the word of God with someone with a heart like concrete? And it's just bouncing off of them. They're not. You know anybody at school? You know anybody in your personal life? Somebody you know that they just don't want to do the religious thing. They'll be like that. Look at this. This is he who received the seed on the wayside, meaning on the sidewalk. Hard as concrete. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word of God, and look what happens. Immediately receives it with joy. I have seen so many people get excited about getting saved. They come to me, Pastor Mike, I want Jesus in my life. I want to be a Christian. It's so wonderful. Please lead me in a prayer to say I'm sorry and to repent and whatever, Lord, just whatever I got to do. And I'll talk to them a little bit, and then I'll lead them in a prayer, and we'll see. Because I don't know. The Lord will only let me see so much of a person's heart. But look what happens. It says, immediately they receive it, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. Look around. I can take you over to my little office area in the back of the house I have, and I have a stack that's nearly, probably about 8 inches high of visitor cards of people who have come to this church. And quite a few of them had a great focus. At first, they really wanted to do the right thing. But guess what? They weren't saved. They weren't transformed. I've baptized people who, and here's what it is. They faked me out. And they played a game. And they weren't authentic with themselves, with the pastor, with the church, or even with God. They just went along. Now you understand why Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, all of your work for Jesus will not be right. Because when we're sharing the word of God and you've got somebody who's concrete, do you share the word of God with a person who's concrete the same that you share the word of God with someone who's good soil, who has gone through a trauma, who has been broken, who has all the stones out? No, you don't. You share it differently. But did you know a lot of people only know one way to share it? You're a dirty, rotten sinner. God hates what you've been doing. You need to get right with him. That's what a lot of people want to preach. They want to preach an aggressive, shaming gospel. Where the gospel in its authenticness is love. forgiveness. So when you meet somebody, are you going to have the gift of discernment to go, all he can do is tell me about his Ferrari, or all he can do is tell me about how he wants to take me fishing, and maybe this weekend we can just skip church and go fishing together, because he just loves fishing, loves it. He might be thorny. He might be real happy and holy on Sunday, but you know he's a party animal on Saturday night and Friday night, and he's out doing things he really shouldn't be doing. So he's not really taking it serious. He's stony. He don't have deep roots. He doesn't feel the conviction of his sin. When he sins, if he's a real Christian, he's going to be miserable. He's going to be miserable. So you say, well, no one's ever explained the soils this way. Well, a lot of times churches don't. If I was going to start teaching the parables, I would do exactly as Jesus did, this parable first. You don't want to teach the parable of the lost coin, or the lost mite, or the lost son. You want to teach this one first, about the condition of the human hearts. They're in phases. I have been hard as concrete. I have been stony. I have been thorn infested. And then God brought this thing called a plow into my life. And when you plow the ground, you have to set the depth of the plow. Well, he set it to the deepest depth. And he pulled his plow through me. And he turned over my soil completely. He pulled out the weeds. He pulled out the thorns. He pulled out the rocks. And I fought him all the way. I did not want him to pull those things out. And I hated his plow. I hated it. I used to say, you're doing this. I know you are. Why are you doing this? And then when he pulled it all out, and there was none of my old self left in the soil. There was nothing but a new type of soil. He took my old heart and he broke it up into pieces. He mixed it with his grace. And he put me back into this nice soil that I was unfamiliar with. And it sprouted. My heart sprouted into life. A new life where I knew a new thing. Can I explain exactly? No. But I know it's real. I sense God now. I also have a sensitivity to my sin. I used to sin these sins that were so big they couldn't even fit in this room. And now I can sin a little tiny sin, and it just eats at me and eats at me till I confess it. They're called picadillos. Not armadillos, but picadillos. You know how that is, guys. That's a good thing. If you're bothered by a small sin, that's a praise. That's an evidence that God is working. But some cannot even pay attention during the day. They're just distracted. They're not focused. Look what he says here for us. It says, for when tribulation and persecution arises because of the world, immediately the one who has shallow roots stumbles. They're like, oh, I like church and all, but I ain't serious, man. Don't put me in that box. Verse 22 says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but cares for this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choked the word, and he becomes absolutely unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, and look at this, it says, and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, 60-fold, even 30-fold. Someone will say, I'm alive. I'm alive. I sing louder than anybody in the church. That is not fruit. That is not fruit. That's not fruit, guys. You say, well, I swept the floor at church afterwards. I pushed that broom better than anybody. That's not fruit. The very first fruit is the fruit of obedience. It's the fruit of obedience. Is that you hear the word of God in your heart, and it's evidence that you're obeying it. Is that God has called you to do something. Whatever it is. God's going to call. I've been announcing it for over a couple months now that we're going to have an afterglow time. A time where we ask people to come in here and to hear the word of God in their heart, and if they desire to receive the gift of the Spirit, people say, well, I got saved, so the Holy Spirit's already in me. Let's look at that just for a second, and we'll be ending soon. Jesus Christ goes to the cross, right? He dies. He's in the grave how long? 3 days, three nights, right? He rises from the dead. He lives among his disciples for 40 days. And at the end of their 40th day with Jesus, he tells them that he's going to go and prepare a place for them, but he's going to send a comforter. And the comforter is going to do what? He's going to comfort them. He's going to grow them. He's going to mature them. He's going to equip them for the gospel and fill them not with just baptism, but with power. If they were already saved, worshiping Jesus, enjoying him, the Holy Spirit brought them to Jesus, they believe in Jesus, they worship Jesus, they're fully saved, why do they need the Holy Spirit at the time of Pentecost? How about this? How about the Gentiles? The Gentiles believe in Jesus Christ. And John and Peter go to check it out because they heard Philip preached Jesus to these Gentiles, the Samaritans. And they go out there and they go, wonderful, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Yes, we do. It's wonderful. The Messiah lives. And they say, well, have you received the blessing of the Holy Spirit? And they go, well, we know the baptism of John. What are you talking about? Oh, you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they then all of a sudden received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They had not even been baptized in water yet. They were saved, but then they receive something additional. Why didn't Jesus, as he resurrected from the dead, tell his disciples, go get them, boys! Start sharing the gospel. But he told them to go and wait. Is because they weren't equipped. Then we must say to ourselves, I got saved. I know the Holy Spirit led me to Jesus. I know I feel the Holy Spirit on me. I know Jesus Christ lives in me. What's the difference? Is that I lived an anemic Christian life, playing with sin, weak, very weak, not courageous, not equipped, not interested in reading the Bible that much. I was saved. I didn't care. I was going to go to heaven. Fine. That's all I want. Back off. I don't want anything else. But then I did ask one day when I understood that I was not living my life to its full potential as a Christian. And we were having a men's night. And I never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I understand it's something a little bit more now. I do want to try and go to the next level. Jesus, please give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I went forward, and the guy said, we'll pray for you. They laid hands on me just like this. They laid hands on me. They prayed for me. Right? There was no fanfare. I received something, though. I can't describe it. Did you know it didn't even manifest for several years? For like 6 years? It finally did come. It finally came. I felt the calling of the Holy Spirit upon my life to be a pastor, to start a church. I don't know where that came from. My mom had a dream. Like almost two years before I heard the calling to be a pastor. She came to me one day and said, honey, I had a dream. And I go, what? She goes, I dream you were a pastor. And I went, no way. Uh-uh. That'll never happen. And it did. So, be obedient. What can it hurt if you came forward during an afterglow and just said, I do want to receive what the next level is. Surprise me, God. And all we do is pray for you, and that's it. But you were do you really hear God saying he wants to take you to the next level? You want to be more equipped to deal with sin? You want to be more able to resist sin? You want to have more of Jesus' power in you? Because all you get at salvation is a ticket in the door. It is just the beginning of mercy and grace. I want to bear fruit. And I want you to bear fruit. But you can't bear fruit with just a ticket of salvation. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. And he is clear in his word about that. So I pray for you every day. I pray that the Holy Spirit will fire up in some of your lives, all of your lives if possible, and you will suddenly see something and you'll be more aware and things will start to mature. And you say, well, once I do that, is that it? I got the battery, you know, I'm like the Energizer Bunny, Holy Bunny, you know, I'm able to do anything? No. Occasionally, you need to come back and be lifted up and prayed for. Because our batteries, like Jesus, he was worn down. He was tired. And so do we. So when we have these afterglows all the time, people say, well, you mean I have to come back and get recharged? Yeah, because we leak. The world sucks it out of us. Because we're frail little creatures. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is all about you. And we just graciously thank you, Lord. Lord, for the seed. We thank you for transforming our hearts that we might not be choked away by the weeds of this world, but be fully alive. Lord, I ask you to bless us, Lord. And I pray that if there are those who hear, not the pressure of the pastor, but truly just hear God, saying, I want you to come to the next level. I want you to receive a gift of the Spirit. Because we know the Father loves giving good gifts. So bless us, Lord. Let there be opportunities for those to grow and produce fruit. 100-fold, 60-fold, and even 30-fold. Bless us, Lord, in your wonderful, wonderful name. And let us grow. Amen. God bless you all. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And may you pray and think about our afterglow coming up this coming week. And just listen to God and see what he has for you. Don't be so anxious to jump on something, but really pray that God will take you to that next level. God bless you.